70% of your taxes are going to the school, you know, so by the time everything gets parted off, the county.
Oh, torches yard. How's your opera? Dirty before.
Okay, I will call the County Board of Commissioners meeting to order. Would you rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Sheree.
Bob?
Here.
Scott?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Troy?
Here.
Okay, I'll make a motion to excuse Brian Van Berkom.
I'll second it.
All right. Call the roll, please.
Scott?
Yep.
Marty?
Yep.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board Meeting Room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. First item on the agenda is public comment. Anyone in the audience that would like to address the board on anything that is not on the agenda?
Hi, guys. I was just wondering what the status is of the panic buttons. Bob, you had told me at one time that they were in, but I haven't had any follow-up from it, or?
They are in. Sheree, any response yet?
I emailed him again this morning asking for status, and I haven't gotten an email back.
Okay.
So the, so it's RTI and the panic button people trying to get together and, I don't know, Don. I mean, I'm as frustrated as you are at this point about it, because it's like, okay, guys, if you can't do it, we'll figure it out and we'll go elsewhere. But Sheree emailed him like 2 weeks ago, like, where are we at on this? Because they've been here, RTI's been here looking at it, trying to get it done and et cetera, working with our other, the panic button folks. So we emailed, no response. I asked her today, she emailed him again like 2 hours ago, no response. So the next conversation with me and those two guys won't be good.
Okay, I was just.
So anyway.
They were in.
Maybe too much information, but there you go.
No, I don't think it's too much. I would have to say, get these guys, you know, if they're not going to come to the table, you just go to someone else. I mean, period. Somebody else has to be.
Well, for the longest time, it was, we were waiting for a part.
Right.
And you know the deal. You know the deal. But that's not the case anymore, I don't think. Anyway, so anyone else on anything else not on the agenda? All right. Moving on to then item two, the consent agenda, which consists of the approval of previous meeting minutes, June 26, 2023, approval of payroll claims. I went through those earlier. They are all fine. And approval of accounts payable, and there were none. So.
I'll make a motion for the consent agenda items A, B, and C.
Okay.
Second.
Motion by Scott, seconded by Troy to approve the consent agenda. Call the roll, please, Sheree.
All right, Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay, item three, new business. Ben Fuller, Summit Carbon, to give an update. Ben and company, or?
Brent Neese.
Okay.
Yep.
Welcome.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you here today. Just had some other, I know you guys just had a meeting, an update, I think probably about a month and a half ago. We have some other stuff we wanted to hit on, touch base with. With that, I'll let Brent take over here, so.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. So Brent Neese, project manager for Nebraska. I know I've been in here probably one or two times. So we've already given, you know, a good overview of the project, so not necessarily here to do that again, just kind of giving an update on a few other things. So I know, I don't know when Ben gave your acquisition numbers, but we are at 72% in the county right now. We did submit our conditional use permit to the planning and zoning. A big portion of that, I mean, we worked for multiple months last year, the planning and zoning, to kind of set forth some regulations, also incorporating that of the federal government's FIMSA regulations. In your packet, you can see there is, this one that just has, if you're curious on some big hitters on, hey, it's construction, what can I see in PHMSA DOT 195 that has some of those, and it's kind of just a small little cheat sheet. But I'd say one of the bigger things that you guys put in yours was the 330-foot setback from houses. You know, when we go to route a pipeline, we usually try to maximize our distance anyway, so we didn't have to move the pipeline at all from that. But in the conditional use permit, we still put an overlay of that distance and called out the houses on it. Along with that, some of the things I wanted to go over, I know as we continue to go through this process, safety continues to be a question, which I know one issue that often comes up is Satartia, Mississippi. And I will be sending this to you guys separately just because it is a 272-page document. But following any incident in pipeline, railroad, anything that has a oversight, regulatory compliance, or some sort of, there's going to be an incident report associated with this. And PHMSA has already gone through that exercise and basically said, we know the reason it failed, and here is a summary of why it did. And I'll send that to you guys. Don't need to read the full thing. I would encourage you just to read maybe the summary first and second page. But I'll just give you the three main reasons why they outlined it and basically how we are mitigating those. So the biggest issue that they called out was essentially that the company involved didn't evaluate their geohazards. And simply put, a geohazard, imagine you're going down into a river, you have this steep incline, whatever you want to call it, and you have a pipeline going through there. Well, as lateral migration or erosion can happen, that pipeline can basically become an open span. There's a lot of extra stresses on the pipe, and essentially you can have a rupture because of that shear there. Well, what PHMSA said was, this location was clearly a geohazard, and the company didn't identify it, didn't put any mitigative actions into place, and didn't even have it in their integrity management plan. So, as part of an integrity management plan, you need to, one, look at these potential hazards from the beginning and say, what can I do from an engineering perspective? Oftentimes, it's just extending that bore box to drill underneath, increase depth of cover, but then also it's about, hey, I know that this is a potential risk area. I'm going to monitor it on our flyovers every 2 weeks. If I do notice that there's a lot of rain, this is an area where I'm going to have some boots on the ground. So following this, PHMSA said, well, we're going to put out this geohazard bulletin that says every company that is currently in operation or is basically looking to construct should be following these guidelines. And we are taking those. We're meeting with PHMSA on a semi-regular basis, but regardless, we're meeting the compliance of this new advisory, and I can send that as well to show you. But the main thing it says, you need to be meeting with a geotechnical contractor, and they need to tell you where your problems are at. So we're doing that across the board, and I can give you guys a copy of that when that comes out. We've done North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and we'll be doing Nebraska and Minnesota next. So it's just really good because it calls out not just, you know, your slope angles, but it calls out, hey, are you concerned about frost? Are you concerned about high water tables, bedrock? So across the board, evaluating that. So one, it was a completely incident that could have been mitigated if that would have been the first thing that they're looking at, but they're pointing that out, hey, they didn't do this, they're going to find them. But on top of it, when you read through this, you'll kind of see what the response time was from the first responders. And the first thing you'll see was the operating company didn't even tell the first responders that the pipeline was there. So no training took place. They didn't go through, hey, here's the equipment you need. Here's the evacuation area. Here's what you need to do in case of an emergency. And I know we're working with the emergency managers now. We've met with at least the emergency manager for each county just to kind of show, hey, this is what our plan is to do. And if you look in your document, we have this draft. And while there isn't any meat to it right now, this will at least show you the outlines of the skeleton that we're going to basically sit down with your guys' emergency manager and say, here's what we're going to go through. Here's the dispersion model we'd anticipate you to have to be looking at if there would be potential issues. Here's the equipment that you need, and here's a training program. And before this goes into operation as a part of PHMSA, we will sit down with everyone, kind of work through this, do this kind of mock training scenario. And then this is also something that happens once every calendar year. This training isn't a one and done. It's a, hey, we know we're going to be here. What can we do to make sure that you guys understand the potential risk and how to mitigate them? And then the last thing that PHMSA calls out as a main potential thing was, yeah, so geohazards, the no, basically, response with the company on talking to the first responders, and then two, this inadequate dispersion modeling. So, you know, they didn't put in the right parameters for X, Y, and Z. So why I bring that up is just to show we're not trying to shy away from Satarsha at all. We know what the shortcomings are from PHMSA, and we've already put in things in place to mitigate it. You know, pipelines continue to be one of the safest ways to transport anything, but we know that it can be safer, and we're just continuing to strive to do so. So I do have one or two more things, but I'll kind of stop there because I know that was a lot. Do you guys have any questions?
Timeline-wise, how we doing, or how you doing?
Good. So we originally were planning to start this August with construction, but right now, since we're a lateral of Iowa and South Dakota, we're kind of basically saying, hey, where are you guys at with it? So North Dakota's finished their public hearings for their state permit, and then Iowa and South Dakota are basically doing theirs in August and September. So that's why we're basically lining up when we are doing the hearings in Dakota County as with the other states. So it's not August anymore, it's spring of next year, and that's just because we're waiting to see how the other states are kind of going about it. And that's basically where we're at with the timeline.
Okay.
So early spring of next year, and plan to be completed by the end of the year in operation.
Just for my own curiosity, what do you know what percentage of our atmosphere is carbon?
I'd have to get back to you on the exact percentage of it. It's a pretty low percentage.
Okay, I'm just curious.
Yeah, I can even get you like the PPMs, like that you breathe in every day. Because it's kind of interesting if you look at, one, how much when you actually breathe out, the parts per million that are associated with it, the normal that you see in there. And
yeah.
It's a lot of information. I can get it for you, I just don't want to speak off the cuff.
Yeah,
I'll
yeah.
Be
no, that's fine. I was just thinking.
But
I was just wondering, the percentage you said it was 73 or 74, is that landowner percentage?
Yep. Landowners acquired through voluntary units. So continuing to reach out, have these discussions. Like I said, these are just, we meet down, we have, I mean, meetings every week with these people. A lot of it's just getting them to the table, going through their concerns, seeing, hey, where do you see your crop value? Where do you see your yields at? What can we do with this route?
So is all hell going to break loose then with the other 20-some percent, you think?
I mean, like I said, it really just depends how these conversations continue to go. I mean, I try to go to as many as I can. I'm not on the land team, but I like to go to these meetings when I'm in the state just so I can say, hey, what are your concerns, to speak at it from an engineering perspective. But like I said, it just obviously we're at the point right now where it's a little harder to get some of these people, but still conversations are happening. So I'd still say we've got time. It's not something where we're saying, well, we're done, we've got 72. No, these are continual conversations.
Who trains our first responders, and who pays for all the equipment our first responders are going to need?
Yep, so the two pieces of equipment that we'd say are basically your need-to-haves are CO2 monitors, which some locations do have what's usually like a 4-gas or a 5-gas monitor, but we find in most situations that a lot of these people don't have the CO2 monitor, so that'll be 100% company supplied. It's more of a, when we have these conversations with your emergency manager, what are your needs? What are you looking at? How many of these do you have to go across the board? And then the other one would be the SCBAs, or the supplied air. So firefighters usually have these. It'd be kind of if you would be responding to a fire in general. And so we'd basically say, how many do you have? Do you believe this is sufficient? And what percentage do you think that this would be used to basically supporting the pipeline and anything? And that would be something where we wouldn't pay necessarily 100% that percentage of it. But the CO2 monitors would be 100% because that's the pipeline specific. If that makes sense.
The SCBA, they don't give them away.
Huh?
They don't give them away.
No.
No.
Yeah, and like I said, I have to look at the last, I've seen different quotes for it, so I guess I'm not proficient on the exact cost, but that's something where we are saying, hey, we're here to help, you know,
right,
do our share for it too, because we understand we're not trying to be a financial burden on it. And when it comes down to training, that's going to come from Summit, so we'll actually have either a contractor or our personal representation that are saying, hey, this is your county specifically, where are your concerns, and let's kind of walk through that draft I gave you, those like talking points in there. And then from there, you kind of develop a plan. And like I said, we usually wait till we're actually in operation because, one, think of the turnover that you could potentially have, and we want to make sure that that training is, you know, applicable to when we actually are going into operation. But it is a yearly training after that.
Okay, perfect.
With the spring start now, what about will the route change at all with the 26% left out, or is that
So when you look at, you know, the 20-ish percent or whatever we have left, there are, like, minimal changes that could take place, but what you're looking at right now is kind of a more locked-in scenario. If you're looking at changes, you're not looking at large reroute. You might be looking at, hey, could you go hug my property a little bit more here? Or, hey, like, this location is somewhere that we would potentially, you know, like you to avoid. Can you work with us? And that's the more of the smaller changes that you'll see. Or maybe if, as we continue to work, you know, we're getting our Army Corps wetland permits, and that's a short lead time, so you get that right before construction. But that's something where, hey, we actually have to extend this drill. Or when we finish the geohazard, we might say, hey, we might have to also extend this drill, or we can maybe avoid this area. Because, like I said, as we continue to look at those geohazards, we've already extended multiple drills just to make sure that we're kind of basically taking a high risk and putting it to a low or zero risk.
So that 300-foot setback from existing home would also make sense that any future development would have to be at least 300-foot from that.
So the 330-foot, and that's more of a county perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean, from us, the 50-foot easement is all we are concerned about. We're not going to say to a landowner they can't build in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I talked about how I was doing rehab before this. I did a lot of work in Louisville, Detroit area, and all those, you know, houses are right up to that easement. So we're not personally concerned with it. We are in control of don't dig on top of our pipeline, don't put any structures. But other than that, you know, from a safety perspective, we know how it's monitoring across mm-hmm. the board. So I'm not concerned. Any other questions? Those are all good. The only other thing I will bring up, and I know we've talked about how this is important to the ethanol plants a lot and agricultural, which it continues to be. But I bring these two requests for information because I like to talk about how this is kind of phase one when you're looking at a pipeline infrastructure. So not only is ethanol and biofuels looking at a lower carbon intensity score, you're looking at other products. And in here you'll see this one is for in South Dakota. This company has reached out and said, you know, I have to look what county it is, but they said, we're looking to bring in a pig iron plant. But we know with the way that the industry is going, in order to set ourselves up for, you know, for success in the future, we want to be near the pipeline. And we want this to be a situation where, hey, if they are going to build the new plant, they want to have that lower carbon intensity score by that access to the pipeline. And then there was also a green methanol plant looking to for a location next to the pipeline in Woodbury, Iowa. And I like to bring these in just to show you. We talk about how do you, you know, bring value to a county or potential tax dollars. It's one, having the infrastructure in place to do so. So yes, we're supporting the ethanol plants, which will continue to help farmers and everything. But now you have a situation where you can attract additional tax dollars, businesses, because of that infrastructure. Of the 18 million tons we have about 9.5 and some change, you know, signed up. And with that comes expansion of other ethanol plants, fertilizer, coal, or other businesses. So I'd say that just to say, you know, people are already looking to do this in other states from what I've seen. I don't know if they haven't done it in Nebraska, but these are just the two I've got my hands on. So I highlighted where it actually says the pipeline, and just to kind of interesting to show, hey, this is how much they anticipate to spend, you know, the 2 point whatever billion that they have going with this. So just something to think about why the infrastructure can be important.
I think the only thing I'll finish up with was speaking with Joe and Jolene. I speak to them constantly. I think one of the things concerns was the cemetery. He spent 45 minutes on the phone with them, and it's not our line that is in the possibility of crossing it.
On the one they're looking for?
Yes. I think there's one from, 1860 or something along those lines. Okay. We ended up going through, and he shared a map with me, and I did show him that's all Navigators. So I think I gave him a contact for Navigator, and I believe they even said today they had a geotechnical crew go out and potentially do some survey on it. But I just saying we did not, it's not crossing us by any capacity.
Okay.
Any other questions? I know that was a lot of information, but like I said, I like to come in just to try to share new information. I will share that Satarsha incident with you guys. Like I said, it is a very big read, but I would at least encourage you to read the summary page just to say, hey, you know, this is what happened, and here's the failure, to show that it is something that's very preventable if you go through the correct steps. But I know, you know, you guys get a lot of questions, so if there's anything else that you guys have now or in the future, I'm happy to send that information, come in again to answer these questions as we kind of return to the next phase, which is the conditional use.
Well, just keep us updated. We appreciate you guys coming in.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item B, Don Bosquet, Treasurer, requesting approval of Resolution 23C-016, releasing pledged securities, 23C-017, releasing pledged securities, and 23C-018, releasing pledged securities.
And that was just due to the influx of the pledged securities that we had during the tax time, and we've paid disbursements out of that, so now we don't need all those securities in there. So
that's the 23C-017,
yep, that's
right?
Typical, yep.
Yep, okay, make a motion.
Over pledged.
There's three.
16, 17, and 18?
Yeah, 16, mm-hmm. Yeah, 16.
Yep, all of them.
There's
okay.
16, 17, and 18, so, under B. So I'll make a motion on resolution to approve 23C-016 and 23C-017 and 23C-018.
I'd second that.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Motion by Scott, seconded by Marty to approve. Call the roll, please. Cherie?
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. Don is here again with chair to sign the semi-annual statement for January 1 through June 30, 2023, showing amount and source of money collected since last settlement, vouchers, amount of taxes, and unpaid money on hand. So.
Okay, we got the 6 month right here in front of us, right?
Yep.
The correction has been corrected.
Yep. Kathy got a hold of MIPS, so that's that taken care of. So. Do we have any questions?
Any concerns, Don?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Nope.
All right.
Okay, so requesting the chair to sign, I will make a motion for the approval for the chair to sign the semi-annual statement from July 1st to June 30th of this year.
Second.
Okay, motion by Scott, seconded by Troy to approve the semi-annual statement. Okay. Call the roll, please, Cherie.
Thank
Scott?
You. Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Item D.
Thank you.
Chair to sign the engagement letter for the county's audit of our financial statements, major funds, and supplementary information for fiscal year ending June 30, 2023 with the State Auditor's Office.
Same formality, same people that's
yep.
been doing it for the X amount of years. I'll
yep.
make a motion to approve for you to sign the engagement letter for the county's audit. Yes,
I'll second
sir.
That.
Okay.
Call the roll, please, Cherie.
Marty?
Yep.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay. Item number four, old business and miscellaneous. Jolene Goebbels, Highway Superintendent, for a road report. Jolene?
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
Hi. We had 285 hours maintaining, 23 hours on tree and debris removal, 9 hours replanting portions of the I. Adams Bridge, 22.5 hours working on 160th Street, 37.5 hours asphalt, that was Dodge Avenue. I think they got that finished, getting that patched up. 19 hours hauling gravel. They hauled 410.66 tons of 3/4 clean, 4 hours on signs, and we had requests for grading on 164th, 270th, and M Avenue. I talked to Alvin Bobber today. He's with the City of Homer, and they're looking into doing the east asphalt return there on that bridge when we do the decking on that. They're looking into, so it'd be nice if we can get that done at the same time. S Avenue and Highway 35. I don't know if any more of you got a chance to go out there and look at it, but I did talk to Dan Alexander with MEI this morning, and he was going to contact the state to see if by chance that project could qualify for highway safety incentive funds, and they could pay up to a portion of 90%. They could also pay 10%,
mm-hmm.
but we're looking to see if that is something that could potentially fall under that, so we could get some help from the state with that, since it's right there to the highway. But regardless, you know, I think it's an important project to really consider.
When will we learn about their decision?
Well, it just depended how. Hopefully, in 2 weeks, we'll know.
Okay.
You know, I'll have an answer back for you guys whether the state will even say, yeah, we're interested in this, get your information together. Dan said a lot of it would be him going through the work and getting the information, you know, showing that it's a shovel-ready project. Then generally the state's ready to jump on,
mm-hmm.
have more of a commitment to it, and say, hey, we're thinking about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then sometimes the state doesn't get too...
We want to act, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think something, I would just hate for there to be an accident and have us sit back and say, well, we looked at it and didn't do anything, so...
And even, you know, like we talked about, the conversation was, you know, lowering the truck traffic tonnage, and that just kind of sets it up where you're like, we know there's an issue, but we're not going to do anything about it, you know, kind of, you know, so. But anyways, there's different ways you can look at it, but yeah, we're just going to wait and see where they come back. And then when you hit your pin in your notes, where you marked down, about a month ago, they patched... I meant to call Brent today. The Dorsey Bridge off of 20.
Okay, yeah.
There's another piece showing some rebar.
Oh, yeah.
If
I noticed that.
If they can get something done on that for the time being.
A little patch in there. And we're hoping by the end of this month, early next month, we'll have that ready to go up for bid. But, yeah, that does need patched.
And I was contacted by Dobbs Astro, a place on Dixon. I think by the mailboxes, just if they want to take a look if they're doing any blacktop patching.
Okay, on Dixon Path.
Yeah.
Is that on the west end then?
I think it'd be on the west end where the mailboxes are. Just take a look and see if there's anybody. He mentioned that there was a pretty good hole there if they were patching them.
Yeah, that'd be down by A1 towards Dobbs' house. Yeah.
Towards whose house?
Dobbs Astro.
Dobbs Astro.
Yeah, it's on the west, it's clear of the west end.
Yeah.
On the south side of the road, I'm guessing.
Okay, anything else?
Jolene, keep up the good work.
A couple things. Dove Trail, did we get anything from... We're going to have a surveyor look at it?
So, yeah, I met with Tim, and he came out to the office, and we kind of... He says it's a tricky situation. He remembers when he was with another firm, he was looking into issues with that. So since he's no longer with that firm, he don't have that information on hand anymore. But he wanted to have a chance to go back through the registered deeds again and look for some information on there. He said you could spend $1,800 on tree removal if we hired it out, or spend about that much money on the survey work. So he was going to see if he could kind of delve into it a little bit without costing us a whole bunch of money to kind of see, get us a better opinion.
I just hate to do a bunch of tree removal that's not on county ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the thing is what would the right-of-way potentially be there? You know, because if you went 33 feet on each side, I mean, you'd be on that guy's...
I think you're...
you'd be sitting in his kitchen,
probably. I just think you're trying to open up a can of worms. I know some people want some answers, and they're curious, but it's been there for how long? And I just think that the more you dig into it, I think it's going to be... I'm sure it's correctable, I'm sure, but I don't know.
Yeah, so he was going to take a light look again,
okay.
So we weren't going to...
All roads will shift after time.
He was also hoping to finish up. I don't know if you remember. You probably aren't aware. We were going to look at purchasing property from Berkeley's out there at the county shop to square up the property. Because down in front of the county shop, that's not ours.
Uh-huh.
And to be able to use that space. And so he's hoping to have that survey information together here for shortly, too. A little busy, but hopefully we can get that taken care of. And
on what's the south or the north side?
Right in front of the shop, like between the highway and that road that circles around in front. on the east side of the shop, right from, not by the highway, by Norfolk Road. Yeah, there's, we mow it, and there's just a little piece of a field, but that's not ours.
Well, and we looked into it once.
Yeah, and Berkeley said they were willing to sell it to us, and it's only going to amount to not even an acre, but just to kind of square up, get them, we can tear that fence out. We would have to give Berkeley's an access to their
field. Didn't they give us, doesn't the county own that road going to their place, or did at one time, or something? There was.
I think they actually have an
easement or something?
Easement to get to that, but before that.
There was something about that. It's been a long time ago.
It's a little janky in there.
Okay, so then.
Get that cleaned up, and then we could have more room out there, too.
Makes sense. Okay, but then before I forget, Gulf Road towards the repairing that we're doing?
Oh, right.
Okay. Now, you know, towards the east, and I never even thought of this when we were going through all the estimates or the bids, that city. And Rick pointed that out to us the day we were out there, and I forgot all about it. That I remember during the flood in 11, you know, the city did their thing, you know, with light form and this and that from College Way to the east.
They kind of go, it's kind of a jagged line in there, and that portion we did bid out falls in their section, but I talked to Lance about it, and he thought he didn't want to waste the bid. It was a good bid that the city would take it over, but I haven't heard back now in about 2 weeks. I just figured I had to go through their one of their meetings, since it was over $50,000 to accept the
bid
to do the work. But he kind of sounded like they would just pay for it.
Yeah.
And then the deepest area right there by Dove Trail,
yeah,
down there by Hines's. Yep. Is that the one we're waiting till spring on, or is that the one we're...
No,
that
I would think
year,
that
right?
would be...
Yeah.
I think that would be any time.
There's got to be something going on in there, because that thing is really dropping, so I don't know if they got a spring in there or what, but there's something going on.
Yeah, that should be... I wouldn't be surprised if they would start any day on that, because that was one of them. Well, they did C Avenue, and then that portion on G Avenue by the overpass, that is the city's.
They went
and they annexed the big chunk
good deal.
Out of that area. So, don't worry about that.
When they did the same people did C Avenue, they just flopped their signs down. They didn't pick their signs up down there.
They're still down there?
Oh, yeah. Laying in the grass. Running them over. Not really, but I'm going to start here before too
long.
Well,
maybe I'll reach out to them and see how soon they'll start on Gulf Road and then remind them they got signs down there.
Hey, Jolene, do we do a painting like... I see this, our new asphalt over here by the old fire station that's ours, our storage place. Yeah. Can we do that? Do we have the capacity to do that? No. We don't do that? Okay.
No. Actually, I reached out to, like, Knife River to see what they would charge when they did Dodge Avenue in the spring. And that's when we started doing our striping is in the spring to kind of see if they had it done and our stripers weren't ready to get there. And so they gave me a quote on something like that.
Okay.
To go in and stripe it if it doesn't match up with the company that comes in. And I suppose Knife River would be a little more just to do that portion where we got somebody that comes in and just does countywide.
All right. And when is the next P&Z meeting?
Third week in August.
Third week in August, because I talked
Tuesday
to
Tuesday in August, the 18th or
and that's fine. I talked to Joe O'Neill about so there was a lighting issue brought up at our last meeting.
He
said he would look into it with some other counties. So if you would jot that down, because you do the
agenda
for the P&Z.
Light pollution on there, and I do have that wrote down on the other agenda.
Okay.
Yeah, so the planning and zoning will have Summit Carbon on their next zoning meeting for public hearing. And then if everything passes through there, okay, then that'll come back to you guys.
Okay.
So end of August, early September, you guys might be having your public hearing on the conditional use for that.
Good.
Okay. Anything else for Jolene?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. no jail report that's ready. And
I was hoping I was going to be able to read that. I've got it for a while.
Item C is Rodney Sewell is here. Rodney, with I think you have an estimate for a floor scrubber.
Hello, Commissioner Scott.
Welcome.
Good to see you. We're here today because the old quote for the scrubber had expired, and actually the scrubber that we do have is, when I try to use it, the water flies everywhere, and it's a slip hazard for citizens that are coming into the building. So I have to have a mop close by when I'm using it. So it's pretty tired, worn out. There are two bids there. And basically, the difference in the bid is the trade-in value of this one. So it'd be nice to have the new one. It's square. It goes into corners nicely. No water loss there. A lot safer for our community coming in this building.
What else do we have? Do we have a buffer, or is that? Am I?
We do have. We have.
The buffer. So that's a separate thing, because it seems like we put some money into that. What was it, the buffer?
And I think
that's a brazer, and it shines up the floor.
Right.
So this one throws down water.
You're right. Have you used that buffer yet?
I have not.
Okay. I didn't know.
I haven't got to that point.
Not that far. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so the prices.
The prices are basically the same. If you do the math, the difference is the trade-in, which is $435.
Same machine?
The same machine, yes. Yeah.
Well, I'd say that it's something that we definitely need.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, it's nice to. It's not nice to use the one we have when there's citizens coming in. I just can't, you know.
No.
You shouldn't have to.
Wasn't this a conversational piece somewhere along the line, like a couple months back?
Well, that's why we're here, because the quote expired.
Yeah. I think I remember it being on the agenda when Kevin was maybe on his way out or something, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
So Fuchs is the one that's $57.15, which is our low bid.
That is correct.
So I think I would, unless we want more discussion, I would make a motion to get the scrubber for Fuchs for $57.15.
I'd second that.
Time frame? They have it now, or are
I believe he'll have to order it in, but okay. It shouldn't be too long.
That's fine. All right. We have a motion by Marty, seconded by Troy, to approve Eeks at $57.15 for a floor scrubber.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks.
Rodney.
Thank you, Rodney.
I met you in the hallway this morning,
sir.
Quick, and it's the first time I met you, and just like to welcome you aboard. Hope everything's going good.
Thank you very much. If you have any questions,
don't hesitate to ask these two.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thanks,
Rodney.
One other thing under ARPA, while we're on it, we talked at one time, and Troy, I think you were involved with the pipe under the street out here. And maybe getting a bid on that.
I've hit that guy up two or three times, and he's supposed to email me a bid. I still haven't got.
Because he did the in December.
He fixed the break.
Okay.
So, but they've had some health problems in the family, and I think he's fine. Okay. But I will contact him again and say we'd really like to get this finished up.
So I don't know, the way I understand it, it's something that the pipe is pretty old. And I don't know. So it's like, do we replace it and
pour concrete on it, gamble, or do we fix it right?
Right. I don't know. So maybe we'll get the bid.
Did we get our bill for the fix over there at the jail?
Yeah.
How bad was that?
$59,000.
So, wore out. I never did talk to sheriff, or was it self inflicted from the guys? Or
I
not
think
big
just
line.
I think wore out.
The engineer. Okay.
Wore out.
All right.
The one for the jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened is it came out, and then it reduced down to a 4-inch, and then it went out into an 8-inch. So originally, it should that should have just been replaced, then they'd never had an issue.
Yeah.
But it just funneled it down, and next thing you know.
And the muncher wasn't working.
The muffin
yeah,
muncher.
Yeah, there was like,
Jesus.
There's like four.
They had new blades for that. Are they in there?
No, I don't think so. I think they had to order it. There was like four blades on there, and three of them were broke.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really.
It wasn't shredded.
It wasn't
like
doing its job.
No. But it's and ever since it's been in, I haven't heard anything about any problems at all. So
you don't hear anything about a sewer, Bob. That's a good thing.
Right. Okay, then let's go to five commissioner committee reports. Scott?
I don't know. I had a board of equalization meeting this morning for 2.5 hours, 2 hours and 40 minutes. Went well. Got one more coming up here in 2 weeks. Then we'll be through all of our 250-some protests. But other than that, it was good.
Okay.
Yep, thank you.
I was at the same meeting with...
Oh, was you there, too?
With Scott. And it did. It seemed to go pretty well. Not as many protests as we have had in years past, so moving right along.
Okay.
And I didn't have any other ones.
Troy?
Nothing new.
No, just a couple more things. Deanna has a couple things going on this week. A couple different trainings, July 12th and 13th. And then also on the 15th, if anybody, so she invited anybody and all to stop in, see what's going on there. And also I learned this afternoon, maybe you guys got the email, Senior Centers grand reopening is July 13th, which is
Thursday
at 1 o'clock. So
are they having like treats and stuff, or what?
I imagine.
So the one on 29th Street.
Yep.
I'm going to become 29. A citizen down there at the senior citizens, so I better stop in and sign up.
Yep. So that is 13th. July 13th, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
And then also Scott and Troy, Kim sent out an email earlier about a call that we need to be on in a couple weeks, so check your schedules for that. July 24th, I believe. So, 9 a.m. And Cherie, any mail?
July 24th. That's a Monday. Oh, I might not get to attend that day.
Mail and or emergency business.
The only thing regarding the call at 9 o'clock on the 24th, the BOE meeting starts at 9 o'clock on the 24th.
I'll second that.
Is that one?
I must have. I thought I did.
Yeah. We can do that. So we might run into a problem, Scott, on that BOE on the 24th.
You might get out of that one.
We have two things. Sure. That call I was talking about.
Yep.
We have BOE at 9, and the call is scheduled for 9. We might have to.
We haven't advertised yet.
Well, maybe so what we can do is we can start the meeting. And we'll take the phone call. One of us can go to it. Doesn't matter.
It should be short and sweet.
They've got a half-hour time limit.
So. Is it?
I can advertise the meeting to start at 9:30 if you'd like, instead of 9.
You want to do that?
Yeah,
we want to do that.
We'll just do 9:30, so then we have our time frame.
Okay.
One of us needs to be in your office.
Yes.
Okay.
One of you two.
What is it?
The unemployment.
Yeah.
You and one of you.
Okay.
Given the stuff
okay.
I have.
Okay. We'll figure it out. The 24th.
All right. 9:30 is the BOE.
Okay.
All right. And did you want to make a motion to adjourn?
You know, I really don't want to because I don't think it's necessary, but I will. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Attaboy.
We didn't today during the BOE, did we?
Nope. We didn't, did we?
Stupid.
I'll second that.
Stupid bastard. I don't know what.
We are adjourned.
All right. Thanks a lot.
We are adjourned.